الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده، من لا نبي بعده، ولا كتاب بعد كتابه، ولا أمة بعد أمته، ولا شريعة بعد شريعته. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد بعد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وإن تعدوا نعمة الله لا تحصوها، فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: الظلم ظلمات يوم القيامة، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والتسليم. صدق الله العظيم، وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. يا ربي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك على رسولك خير الخلق كلهم. ربي اشرح لي صدري، ويسر لي أمري، واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. أما بعد، most respected honorable ulama, beloved elders, friends and youth, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. All praises are due to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, our sustainer, our nourisher, our provider, our fashioner. And peace and salutations be upon the best of creation, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The topic of my discourse today is with regards to three profound advices that a pious man once shared. As an introduction, a beautiful practice in our tradition is to visit the pious and the ulama and to seek guidance, direction and advice from them. From the earliest of generations, we find that the Sahaba Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'een, they would constantly turn to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they would seek guidance, they would seek clarity, and they would seek direction in their journey to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. And this tradition continued through the various centuries. One example is that of Sufyan bin Abdullah al-Thaqafi radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. And he came to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he said, Ya Rasulullah, O Messenger of Allah, qulli fil islami qawlan. Give me some advice, O Messenger of Allah. Tell me something about the deen of Islam. لا أسأل عنه أحدا بعدك. There is no need for me to then ask anybody else thereafter. Give me something concise, something all-encompassing. And the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave him the beautiful advice that we all familiar with. آمنت بالله ثم استقيم. Believe in Allah and then remain steadfast. And there's various other examples in which the Sahaba came to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam seeking advice, clarity and direction in their life. The scholars, the muhaddithun, they beautifully explain this phenomenon and this tradition that we're speaking about. And they say that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to advise the Sahaba, and this was amazing, تَخْتَلِفُ بِإِخْتِلَافِ أَشْخَاصِهِمْ وَأَحْوَالِهِمْ وَمَا هُوَ أَكْثَرُ نَفْعًا لِكُلِّ وَاحِدٍ مِّنْهُمْ. That the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam advised the Sahaba according to that individual circumstances, according to that individual's condition, and according to what would be most beneficial for that individual. Subhanallah. And this is an amazing lesson that we can learn, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this was his kamal, it was his perfection, despite his busy schedule, despite the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's various commitments, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam firstly understood the temperament of the individual, the sahabi that came to him, and thereafter the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam invested his time in the sahabi. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam listened to the sahabi's question, and thereafter the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took out the time and he invested his time in the sahaba. And as parents, educators, people of authority in certain positions, this is a lesson for us, that despite our busy schedules, we need to give our children time. We need to give our students time. We need to give our subordinates time. We need to invest our time in our children, our students, our subordinates. And unfortunately, this is lacking today. Nevertheless, the scholars further explain that the Sahaba used to come to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and out of their deep eagerness to get them closer to Allah and to improve their spiritual condition, they used to ask these questions. And again, we can derive another very important lesson from here, is that we too should cultivate the desire to sit in the company of the pious, the ulama, to seek their counsel. And we need to benefit from their guidance so that we could uplift ourselves spiritually. More so in times that we are living in, we are living in times of dajjal, deception and uncertainty. And there is perhaps no better example to give than Mawlana Yunus Patel rahmatullah alayhi, the thousands upon thousands who benefited from this great friend of Allah stand as a living testimony to this reality. So in line with this, and relating to today's topic specifically, a person once visited a pious man to seek advice. And the pious man shared three pieces of advice. It was simple yet deeply thought-provoking. And if we look at the various conditions facing us individually and facing the ummah as a whole, we will find that these advices are so apt and relatable. The first advice this pious man gave was shukranun ni'mah, to be truly grateful for the countless bounties that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has bestowed upon us. And indeed, we cannot even begin to enumerate the bounties and the favors of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala upon us. They are beyond measure. وَإِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْسُوهَا. That if you should count the favors of Allah, you will not be able to enumerate them fully. I will highlight, inshallah, three bounties specifically. Initially, that we sometimes take for granted, and we don't even think of how great these bounties are and how significant these bounties are. They might seem simple. The first example I wish to highlight, and that is the bounty that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has created us as insan, the masterpiece of His creation. Allah says, وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمْ. Allah says, we have honored you, O insan. Allah has honored me and you by virtue of how Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has created us. لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ. Allah says that we have created insan in the best of forms, in the most beautiful and perfect composition. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has created us as insan. There's a unique incident mentioned in the books of Isa bin Musa al-Hashimi. And it is mentioned that through this individual, the Abbasi Dawla, the Abbasi Khilafah was firmly established. So one day, Isa said to his wife that you are divorced three times if you are not more beautiful than the moon. You are divorced three times if you are not more beautiful than the moon. So after he uttered the statement, both Isa and his wife assumed that the divorce to be effective. And both of them spent the night in anxiety and worry and concern. Another important lesson we can derive from here, and it is something very common in our societies, we are often very quick to issue a divorce without thinking clearly or considering the consequences. That's why our seniors inform us always, our people of insight, that when we become angry, we should control ourselves, we should either remain silent
or we should step away from the situation. We should not speak, say anything, or act whilst we are angry. Nevertheless, the next morning, Isa goes to the Khalif, who was Abu Ja'far al-Mansur, and he presented his case, that this is what transpired last night. All the scholars were gathered, and they all were unanimous that 3 talaqs were issued. There was one individual, one scholar, who remained silent. He was a student of Imam Abu Hanifa, rahmatullah alayh. So the Khalif asked him, that you have not responded, and you have not issued your opinion on the matter. The student of Imam Abu Hanifa, rahmatullah alayh, responded with a verse of Quran. He said, وَالتِّينِ وَالزَّيْتُونِ وَطُورِ سِينِينَ وَهَذَا الْبَلَدِ الْأَمِينِ لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ. So he said, O Amir al-Mu'mineen, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has said that we have created al-insan in the best of forms. So the human being is the most beautiful of all of Allah's creation, and nothing is more beautiful than him. So based on this reasoning, the Khalif accepted his opinion and reasoning and ruled and issued a decree that the divorce had not occurred. The scholars, subhanAllah, they comment on this and they say, فَهَذَا يَدُلُّكَ. What does this incident teach us? It teaches us and it shows us that insan is the most beautiful of Allah's creation, the masterpiece of Allah's creation, ظاهراً وباطناً, both inwardly and outwardly. Subhanallah. So this is the first ni'mah I wished to highlight. The second, above all of this, Allah has created us as insan. Allah has blessed us with iman. And this is the greatest of all bounties. This bounty is the very bounty that will guarantee our success for the eternal life of akhirah. فَمَنْ زُحْزِحَ عَنِ النَّارِ وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةِ فَقَدْ فَازْ. So iman is that passport, it is that visa, it is that key to ultimate success. Yet Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has granted each and every one of us present here today with this bounty of iman. Out of billions in the world, Allah selected me and you with this bounty of iman. And we find there are so many people around us, sometimes those that are even close to us. And I've personally experienced a family member in the recent past, they have not been blessed with iman. Our colleagues at work, our subordinates, this, beloved friends, should move us. It should create the desire within us to make an effort to give the da'wah, to give the da'wah to iman. This was a concern of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. قُولُوا لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ تُفْلِحُونَ. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam used to go person to person, giving them the da'wah of iman. قُولُوا, say, لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ, and you will be successful. The third ni'mah I wish to highlight, if all of this was not enough, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has further made us from the ummah of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the best of all nations. كنتم خير أمة أخرجت للناس أي يخبر تعالى عن هذه الأمة المحمدية بأنهم خير الأمم. Allah is informing us that this ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the best of all nations. Beloved friends, with regards to these three ni'mats and bounties, let us pause and reflect. How much shukr do we truly make each day for these three great blessings? Allah has made us the best and masterpiece of His creation. Allah has blessed us with iman. Allah has honored us to be from the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And this is only the tip of the iceberg. Subhanallah. Even though these three bounties alone are sufficient, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has mentioned, man asbaha minkum aminan fi sirbih. Whoever wakes up secure in his home, mu'afan fi jasadihi, healthy in his body, indahu qutu yawmihi, he possesses provisions sufficient for the day, not for the month, not for the year, sufficient provisions for the day. Fakannama hizat lahu ad-dunya. It is as though the entire world has been gathered for him. Our Ustad, may Allah preserve him, used to translate this part of the hadith. It is as if though this entire dunya is making sajda in front of you. Subhanallah. But the reality, unfortunately, وَقَلِيلٌ مِّنْ عِبَادِيَ الشَّكُورِ. And few of my servants are truly grateful for all of these bounties. Ibn Kathir rahmatullah alayhi, he expounds and he comments on this verse, وَقَلِيلٌ مِّنْ عِبَادِيَ الشَّكُورِ, أي إِخْبَارٌ عَنِ الْوَاقِعِ. The statement from Allah that very few of my servants are truly grateful is describing the reality of the situation. So beloved friends, how do we make shukr? There are three elements to shukr. Shukr is manifested in three ways. Number one is shukr of the heart. This is to firmly believe that every blessing that we enjoy, including the three that we have highlighted, including the wealth, the health, the family, the security, the safety, all of these bounties are purely from the grace and the kindness of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And all the bounties that we receive are not because we deserve it. It is not our doing. It is not our business acumen. It is not our intelligence. هَذَا مِنْ فَضْلِ رَبِّي. It is from the side and the kindness and the generosity of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala upon us. The second element of shukr is shukr of the tongue. This is to speak about Allah's favors, to praise Allah by saying Alhamdulillah. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has mentioned, man qala hina yusbihu, whoever says in the morning, Allahumma ma asbaha bi min ni'ma, aw bi ahadin min khalqik, faminka wahdak, la sharika lak, falak alhamdu wa lak ash-shukr. We should learn this wird and this dua. Whoever says this dua in the morning, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has mentioned, faqad adda shukra yawmihi. Then this person had fulfilled the gratitude for the day. And, وَمَنْ قَالَ مِثْلَ ذَلِكَ حِينَ يُمْسِي. And whoever says the same in the evening, فَقَدْ أَدَّى شُكْرَ لَيْلَتِهِ. He has fulfilled the gratitude for his night. The third element to shukr is shukr through our actions. And that is to use these bounties, these blessings that Allah has blessed us with, in ways that please Allah and not in ways that displease Allah. For example, to use the eyes to look at that which is permissible. To use the tongue to speak good. To use our wealth in a permissible way. In a beneficial way. And critically, to avoid using these blessings in ma'asiyah and sin. To conclude this first advice, the scholars have mentioned that ideally on a daily basis, we should be performing 2 rakat salatul shukr. Thanking Allah for all the favors that Allah has blessed us with. And by virtue of us displaying this quality of shukr, وَلَئِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will increase us in those favors. For those that came in late, we're discussing three profound advices that a pious man once gave. And the first was شُكْرَانُ ni'mah, to be truly grateful for the bounties that Allah has blessed us with. The second advice, this pious man advised, was husnul khatima, and that is to make dua, to be desirous, to do actions for a beautiful ending to this world. Husnul khatima. Subhanallah. Our own Mawlana Yusuf Patel rahmatullah alayh, what a beautiful end to this world in front of Ka'batullah. Subhanallah. You know, as the saying goes, kama ta'ishun tamutun, وَكَمَا تَمُوتُونَ تُبْعَثُونَ أَوْ تُحْشَرُونَ. That you will die like how you lived, and you will be raised like how you died. The grandson of Abdullah bin Zubair radiallahu ta'ala an, Abdullah bin Zubair radiallahu ta'ala an, and the great grandson of Zubair bin Awam radiallahu ta'ala an, his name was Amir bin Thabit rahimahullah. He was a lover of the masjid. He never missed a salah with jama'ah. It is mentioned with regards to him. On one occasion, he was seated with his family and he made a dua. Allahumma inni as'aluka al-meetat al-hasana. Oh Allah, grant me a beautiful ending to this world. His son inquired that, wama hiya al-meetat al-hasana? What is this beautiful ending that you are desirous of? And he said, ay yatawaffani Allahu wa ana sajidun. That Allah takes my soul whilst I am in sajda. Subhanallah. It is mentioned that in the throes of death, subhanallah, he was about to leave this world. He heard the adhan. And this is another important lesson. When Allah has decreed for something to happen, nothing can change that. He was in the throes of death. The adhan was called out. And he then called to his children that take me by my hand to the masjid. They said, innaka alil, that you are sick. It's impossible for you to go to the masjid. And he said, I hear the adhan. How can I not respond to the adhan? His sons took him to the masjid. Subhanallah, it is the time of Salatul Maghrib. And it is mentioned he completed one raka'ah and he passed away in sajda. Subhanallah. So, kama ta'ishun, tamutun, wa kama tamutun, tuhsharun. An alim who recently visited Madinatul Munawwara, he mentioned to me that he asked the members of the burial committee in Al-Madina that what qualities do they commonly notice in those that pass away in Medina. Obviously, they would routinely interact on a regular basis with the families of the deceased. So their reply was beautiful and profound. Subhanallah. They said that from our interaction with the family of the deceased, most of those who pass away in Medina, they were known for showing ihsan, kindness to people. They were known for their good akhlaq, their demeanor, their character. And they were known for it'amu ta'am, for feeding people. They used to love feeding people. Subhanallah. And these are simple qualities, beloved friends. Yet, they are immensely weighty in the sight of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So perhaps, we never know, it is through such actions, if we are sincere in doing these actions, that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will honor us with a beautiful husnul khatima. We ask Allah to grant us all, inshaAllah, a husnul khatima. Now to the third and final advice that the pious man gave. And another beautiful, simple piece of advice, yet so deeply thought-provoking. He said, do not oppress anyone. SubhanAllah. The first advice, shukranu ni'mah. Be grateful to Allah. The second advice, desire and do actions for husnul khatima. And third, do not oppress anyone. We find the hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, ittaqu al-dhulma, that be wary of oppression and dhulm. فَإِنَّ الظُّلْمَ ظُلُمَاتٌ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. Why? Because oppression will manifest itself in layers of darkness on the day of Qiyamah. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is discussing the consequences of oppressing someone. That on the day of Qiyamah, a person will be surrounded with darkness. And this is the time when every person would desire light and nur. And because of his oppression or her oppression in this world, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala will remove that light and a person will be surrounded with darkness. So beloved friends, this is a very serious issue. For instance, on a micro level, I will give few examples, inshallah. On a micro level, a form of zulm and oppression in terms of our speech is backbiting, gossiping, spreading rumors or lies about others, to insult someone, to mock someone, to belittle someone. These are all forms of zulm by virtue of our speech. In terms of our business dealings, to cheat in business, to be dishonest in our transactions, not to pay someone their due right, what we owe them. This is zulm, this is oppression. In our family circles, being unjust to one's spouse, to neglect and not respect and to disrespect one's parents. This is a form of zulm. At work or in positions of authority, to treat our employees unfairly and unjustly. This is zulm. To abuse the power or position that we have. This is zulm. As for employees, not to fulfill our responsibilities properly. This is also a form of zulm. And even in small, everyday situations, for instance, to take someone's turn, or to even cut a queue, or to block someone's path, or to cause inconvenience, beloved friends, these are just few examples of how we could sometimes, even unintentionally, fall into zulm of someone. May Allah protect us. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam informed us that a woman was punished because of her oppression to a cat. Subhanallah. And if neglecting a cat brought punishment to a person, then how much more careful should we be with regards to the rights and the hukuk of fellow human beings? So let us be wary, inshallah, that we do not cause harm and oppression to any creation of Allah. On a macro level, when we look at the world today, our hearts ache. It's natural. In so many Muslim lands, be it in Gaza, in Uyghur, in Sudan, in Kashmir, and so on, we are witnessing levels of aggression, oppression, and injustice that words can barely describe in front of our eyes. And today, Masjid al-Aqsa, the heart of our ummah, has been closed for over a month. A land of anbiya, a land where the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam led the anbiya in salah. Our first qibla, the second masjid built on earth, the third holiest site for Muslims, now silent. This, dear brothers, is nothing but clear and painful dhulm. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has mentioned, وَمَنْ أَظْلَمُ مِمَّنْ مَنَعَ مَسَاجِدَ اللَّهِ أَن يُذْكَرَ فِيهَا اسْمُهُ. Very interestingly, the exegetes, the mufassirun, when they explain in this verse, they mention that this verse was revealed in relation to the Nasara, the Christians, when they used to throw filth into Baytul Maqdis, and thereafter they prevented people from performing salah in it. Today the zalim are the Zionist entity. May Allah free Masjid al-Aqsa. May Allah grant us all, inshaAllah, the ability to perform at least one salah in a free Masjid al-Aqsa. To conclude, inshaAllah, of what we discussed today, three profound advices that a pious man once gave. And it's very relatable and apt in today's time. One is shukran ni'mah, to be grateful for the favors of Allah. Number two is to desire to do actions and make dua for husnul khatima. And third is not to oppress anyone. We ask Allah to grant us the understanding. Wa sallallahu sallam wa baraka alayhi.